Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Feeling cooped up with all this wet weather, want to get out and about, even a half-day getaway perhaps? Well, if you head west on I-80 for about 40 minutes from Sacramento, the town of Winters is well worth the drive. A historic downtown lined with restaurants, shops, and breweries, but its newest attraction is a one-of-a-kind tasting room and one you will only find in Winters. L'Apéro Les Trois is a tasting room of apéritifs. Apéritifs are low alcohol, they are wine-based drinks, usually served before a meal to open up the palate. L'Apéro Les Trois is already making waves just a few months after opening, as it was just listed as one of the top 11 tasting rooms in the Bay Area by the San Francisco Chronicle. So what makes this place so special? As co-owner Georgianne Brennan tells us, it's French, it's Californian, and it celebrates the local flavors of Yolo County in every sip. Georgianne Brennan joins us now live in studio with more on her latest project. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being here, because you're really no stranger to the culinary world. So just give our listeners a little taste of your background in food and wine.
Well, I'm happy to be here, Vicky. Thank you. Gosh, I've been a cookbook author writing about food for a long time now. I did win a James Beard Award for one of my books and a Julia Child Award for my apéritif book, which was published, gasp, 20 years ago. So ahead of its time, and yet it's kind of, you know, all my passion for those aperitif drinks that I learned to enjoy and to make in France now have a new life in Winters.
All right. So a James Beard Award, you're well-accomplished, award-winning food writer and author. What made you want to open up a tasting room at the age of 79?
Well, I didn't really want to. That wasn't my idea. During the pandemic, a friend, Nicole Salengo, who is the winemaker at Berryessa Gap, and I decided we'd do a project that we'd had in mind for a while, which was to make some fortified wines that included fruits and nuts and so forth in the French farmhouse style. So we got together in my kitchen with a lineup of mason jars and began to experiment. Thought, wow, these are really good. Let's get a designer to make a label for us and present them to a winery, and maybe we'll do a few cases. And so where shall we start? The logical place was Berryessa Gap, where Nicole is the winemaker. And so we presented our project to the co-owner, Corinne Martinez, and she loved them. So we were very excited, and she said, but no. Well, oh, you know, deflated. No, these are too good. They need their own tasting room, not to go in the winery tasting room. I said, oh, well, I don't know. I have no experience of that. Don't worry, I do. So here we are.
How wonderful. And Lake Berryessa is close to the town of Winters, which is just such a charming town. I love the town of Winters. And now there's an apéritif tasting room. Can you explain for a lot of us what an apéritif is, and how does it differ from wine or even dessert wine?
Oh, that's a question we get all the time. First of all, they're not sweet. And they are low alcohol, as you said earlier. They're wine-based. We make ours using Berryessa Gap's estate wines, and we infuse them with what's in season. Like right now, we are just finishing our rosemary orange, which I brought you a bottle of to sample, which, of course, now it's the season for orange. We just finished Meyer lemon, and we get the fruit and hand peel them. It's really hands-on artisan work. And then some spirits are added to fortify it. The alcohol content is between 5.5 and 16.5.
Oh, great. So it is significantly lower than a glass of wine.
Seriously lower, and certainly a lot lower than an alcohol cocktail. And because of the complexity of the flavors from the wine and then the addition of the fruit and the fruit's natural oils and sugars, and in the case of the orange, the additional rosemary, you get some really complex flavors, yet still dry, like you might get in a cocktail, but without the alcoholic slam that can come with that. And we could serve them chilled over ice with a splash of sparkling water. You can continue to reduce the alcohol content that way. And I really love them with a splash of sparkling rosé or Blanc de Blanc.
You were talking about some of the bottles you have, rosemary orange and Meyer lemon.
Yes.
I'm just curious, at a time when during the pandemic, for those who do drink, maybe drink more than they usually would, you know, as everyone was staying at home, you chose to actually create aperitifs. When you actually tried what you created for the first time, what reaction did you have? How did it feel and taste like?
That, you know, it's so funny when you asked that question. And I thought, wow, this is really good. And every time I have a glass, I have that same reaction. Wow, this is really good. And, you know, as being in the food world for a long time and, you know, cooking and loving to eat and all those things, it's so exciting when something that you do, you know, whether it's cooking or a drink you make, and it's just the way you envisioned it in your mind. And that's how these feel. It's kind of magic.
And you really like pick these the varieties of aperitifs at the right time. Timing is so key to the quality of what's in the bottle.
Absolutely. And that's really important. And for the Blenheim apricot, which we make from an orchard, the fruit in an orchard in Winters, the season is really short. It's like barely 3 weeks. And past that, we couldn't make it. And the green walnut, which we make in...
Green walnut.
I know.
How wonderful.
Green walnut, which we make in June. We pick the green walnuts and then you crack them slightly. And then they go into a Zinfandel wine with cinnamon and clove. And that macerates for 6 months. And that window is about 2 to 3 weeks also, because you pick the nuts when a needle will go all the way through to the center. And if you're too late, the needle will hit the developing shell, which means there's too much tannin.
Wow. It is the timing really down to the day or in some instances or in a lot of instances.
Yeah, pretty close.
So how does someone best enjoy an aperitif? You mentioned that you can dilute it with water or you can spruce it up with some sparkling sparkling wine. What kind of food and appetizers pair well?
Well, we have, of all the appetizers, we serve probably 5 or 6 at the tasting room in downtown Winters. All kinds of nuts, for example, olives, either plain olives or a tapenade. We do a black olive tapenade, a green olive one. Goat cheese is great with it. We do a goat cheese drizzled with local Bandolio olive oil and Herbe de Provence.
I have been to their olive oil farm.
That's great.
It's
olive
wonderful.
Oil. Wonderful. And on the goat cheese with any of our aperitifs, it just flows together. And then we do a wonderful Mount Tam triple cream cheese that we bake to order and then serve that with crackers. It's sort of like a little mini fondue for two. So, you know, cheeses, nuts, spreads, and then you can also take the aperitifs and create a cocktail with them. We were talking about the green walnut. And so we created one for a dinner that we do, a seasonal dinner every 2 months. And we call it the Green Walnut Sfagliato Negroni, the broken Negroni, which is classically made with sparkling wine Prosecco. We use our green walnut for the vermouth, and then we add Brut Rosé. And then for the bitterness that you would normally get from the Campari, we add a dash of the rosemary orange.
Wow, that's incredible.
Doesn't that sound
good? And so interesting and complex as well. Mm-hmm. You know, when you first take that sip and then, you know, and it probably develops as you take more sips and the glass is empty.
And it's still low alcohol.
Yeah, so you don't get slammed with it with that punch and you can just enjoy it. You are located in Winters, obviously. You call Winters authentically cute. And for many, it is kind of the gateway if you take Highway 128 into wine country when you go into Napa and to Sonoma counties and then it ends in Mendocino. What is so special about Winters that you that one, you think is a better experience or a different experience than Napa Valley, but also retains that hometown feel?
That is something I think about a lot because I've lived there 35 years now. And of course, it's changed, but it still has, as you say, that small town, hometown feel. And I think one of the reasons is that so many of my children's generation have returned to the town after having gone to college and worked various places and have returned to the town and are raising their families there. So you still have the multi-generational feel, whereas with so many places, you know, the kids go off and live somewhere else, and these just keep coming back. And now their kids are all going to school together, just like they all went to school together. And they're involved in the downtown businesses and work. Many of them work locally. So you do have that, you know, hometown feeling of community and people who have lived there a long time and their families. And also, I think there's a real appreciation by the community for the town. So, you know, we built a community playground and everybody mm-hmm. pitched in and built it and worked together. And I think that's very different than places that have changed so much. Napa used to be like that, but, you know, we've lived long enough to have seen it change. So there's this, you know, friendly feeling too, very welcoming to whomever.
Georgianne Brennan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. And visit us at www.lapereau.com.
That is it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests, including Lapereau L'Etoile, at capradio.org/insight. I'm Vicki Gonzalez. Have a great day. We will catch you back here tomorrow.